support for the Alaska Live series of live music and conversation on KUAC comes from Design Alaska. Design Alaska, architecture and engineering for the new frontier. This is Alaska Live. I'm your host, Lori Neufeld. My guests today, Sybarite 5. And I am going to have the bassist introduce the band.
Hi, we're Sybarite 5. Sami Merdinian on violin, Sarah Whitney on violin, Angela Pickett on the viola, Laura Metcalf on the cello, and I'm Lewis Levitt playing double bass.
Well, welcome. And should we launch right into a piece to give people a taste of what Sybarite 5 is capable of?
Absolutely.
Okay.
This is The Rebel by Piotr Sevchuk.
Here on Alaska Live at the KUAC studios. Wow, that piece really moved. One more time, who was the composer of that?
He's a Florida resident, Piotr Sevchuk, from Polish descent.
And so it's a modern piece because
yeah.
It had some qualities of rock in it, I think. But it's a modern classical piece, correct?
Absolutely. It's a chamber piece written for us in 2006.
Oh, was it written? It was written for you.
Yes.
Oh,
it's an original
nice.
Composition that was written for us by a friend composer.
You got to love that when somebody thinks of your group and then writes a piece for you and you can take it and make it even more your own.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Absolutely. It's a piece that we've loved playing through the years.
Sybarite 5 is on Alaska Live today, and Tomorrow you're at the Blue Loon, and then on Saturday at Herring Auditorium. And I know, I think I saw on the Fairbanks Concert Association website that the Blue Loon show is sold out for Friday. So
Woo!
Congratulations, you guys. And but I'm pretty sure that Saturday there still are some seats available at Herring. It's a great venue, and it's at the high school. So
great. And yeah. I believe teens get in for free.
Yeah.
Right?
I think that that's...
I just heard that, that walking down the hall. So it's a great opportunity for kids to enjoy what you were doing. We're guaranteeing them that they will like some of the pieces, at least, that we're going to play.
We're also collaborating with some of the teenagers, some of the students at the school, to play a little number that will remain nameless. So if they want to come out and support their friends, they can come and see us and also see us perform with some of their colleagues.
You are collaborating with the West Valley High School students, and you are playing at Herring Auditorium, which is at Lathrop High School, but it's the typical auditorium where everybody plays because it's a wonderful large venue, and you guys are going to sound great on that stage. And West Valley High School students, the Chamber Orchestra, will be on stage with you for a selection, which...
That's right.
It's going to be a surprise.
Yeah.
Okay, great. and so they're welcome to come out and support their friends and find out maybe some new music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Cool. Did you have something to add? I see that...
No, just that my favorite thing about the no-charge tickets is that we can always offer them a money-back guarantee.
Oh, nice. Like that. Sybarite 5 is known for pieces like you just played. That's a classical piece, but maybe nobody's heard that before unless they've heard you in concert before or your CD. Is that one recorded?
Yeah, that's piece? In our first album. It's an EP. It's called Disturb the Silence, which will be available at both shows this weekend.
Cool. And I found your music on iTunes also.
Absolutely.
And Bandcamp.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We like Bandcamp.
Should we hear one more before we launch into talking about your music a little bit more?
Absolutely.
Okay.
This is another piece written for us. It's by a wonderful composer named Dan Visconti. It's called Black Bend.
What a great piece that totally swings along. Who wrote that for you?
Dan Visconti.
And again, he had a Sybarite 5 in mind when he wrote that. You guys are able to incorporate classical and jazz and even rock into your shows. And so I think that was a great example of how some American music and jazz, you know, which is American music, came into play when you did that. It's called Black Bend. Mm-hmm. Is that on a recording of yours?
Yes. Same, Disturb the Silence.
The EP, Disturb the Silence. Yeah, nice. What attracted you to making this band? Because it seems like you guys are all kind of on that same page of playing energetic music that is not stuffy. It's a, you know, not your, you have to wear a suit and sit down and, you know, just totally be still during a concert. What attracted you to being part of Sybarite 5, or how did this band even get put together? How did this group get put together?
Well, I think
one Sarah's got to go for it here. Yeah, good.
One of the great things about our ensemble is, well, for a string quintet, there's not a lot of traditional repertoire written for us. So because of that, we have to kind of create a lot of it and essentially can play anything we want, which is really exciting and kind of, you know, opens a lot of doors. And we have one rule that we have to play. We can only play the music that we love. So it's really amazing the endless possibilities we have as far as
and there's five of you, so you know you all have to be like I said on the same page, kind of.
Yes, definitely.
We have to love one another, and each other at the same time,
and convince each other. Be very persuasive. If someone is not loving it as much, finding why they should love it.
Right.
The reason I think why Sarah can say that we can pretty much play whatever we want is that there's no real precedent. There's no canon of repertoire for string quintets. So there's no like established precedent that we have to follow. So we really can just choose whatever we want to play.
It's the first string quintet I've ever had in here. You know, with the traditional. Two violins, a cello, and a viola,
right.
But you added the bass, and which just is so fun because you end up having that low line of rhythm plus melody, and because you don't just have to stick to rhythm. That's nice.
And the cello doesn't always have to be the bass either. So.
That's true. That's true. She doesn't always have to hold down that line, yeah.
We call the bass the pivot instrument.
Yeah. The pivot instrument.
Which kind of is the instrument that is used in most genres, from tango to jazz to
Bluegrass,
rock and roll, rock.
So it's Mozart.
Mozart.
Yep.
Well, so of course, because, I mean, the double bass is a part. There's many double basses in a symphony. Mm-hmm. And
exactly.
So it's not that there isn't music written in the classical repertoire for it. It's just not for this configuration,
right.
Usually.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah. So is there people in your group that do the arranging, or do you all do the arranging together?
So far, we've done one arrangement as a group. Pretty much most of the music that we acquire is either commissioned, an original work that's commissioned for us, or an arrangement of an existing piece that we commission. But we did attempt, and we believe succeeded, in creating our own arrangement. It was an arrangement of a Radiohead song, which is part of our newest album, Everything in Its Right Place, which is all Radiohead songs. And we arranged together in one afternoon one of the tracks on the album called No Surprises, which we will be playing this weekend.
Well, should we hear No Surprises off of the Radiohead album that you did? Yeah, let's hear that now. So Laura, the cellist, just explained about how this came about. So we will hear this off of their recording, Everything in Its Right Place, Sybarite 5 from Radiohead Remixed. From Sybarite 5's recording, we heard that was No Surprises, and a lot of 20-somethings and Well, I bet a lot of people recognize that as a Radiohead song. Mm-hmm. Sybarite 5, what is it about Radiohead that draws you to it, that you made all, you did a whole album of remixes of Radiohead songs?
Well, I think the thing that draws us to Radiohead is the same thing that draws us to Mozart or Beethoven or Led Zeppelin. So I hope that helps explain that a little bit. But the reason why I think we recorded an album was because we really enjoyed the process of recreating the sounds that Radiohead creates with their band and their electronics and their vocals, but doing it on our instruments. I think that was kind of a really fun challenge for us, and we liked it so much we ended up with a bunch of them. We decided that we should probably record them.
They do some complex stuff as a band, and in their compositions, I mean, I would call them compositions without even grimacing or, you know, they're amazing, you know, the complexity of it. And so I can see that in your band, too, why you might take that on.
And yeah, and it applies to them, but not to any rock band. The idea that if an audience comes to a concert and they don't know it's Radiohead, it's contemporary music. It's right there, up there with like any other composer that is successful, living composer that is successful. So that's another draw to their music.
Yeah, and if you are a Radiohead fan, then you're gonna pick up on that probably almost right away out of the gate, you know, on the songs. And those are part of your shows, right? Usually.
Absolutely. Yeah. Good. I don't think we've ever played a show where we didn't do a Radiohead song.
Never.
If I think about it,
is that something?
Everything not in its right place would be the name of that concert.
Is that something that drew each of you to this band? The love of certain groups and composers of classical music?
Yeah, actually, I remember when Lewis approached me about possibly joining Sybarite 5. One of the first things he asked me,
Laura, the cellist, is talking.
He said, "Important, do you like Radiohead?"
Did I really?
Yeah, he wrote me a message. He said, "Important, do you like Radiohead?" And I actually happen to love Radiohead and have been listening to them for over a decade religiously. So I was able to answer without lying that I did love Radiohead.
So you knew from that email, I might be a good fit for this band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tommy, what about you?
I would have failed the interview before even like the first reading of music.
Actually, he did fail the first interview. That's another story.
Yeah, because I had heard of Radiohead, but I didn't listen to them in high school or anything. I moved here from Argentina, even though they were famous in Argentina as well. I had heard of them, but I had never sat down and listened to their music. So it was a learning process, and I got to like the songs through our arrangements, and then I listened to the originals. So
it's a requirement
different.
That you eventually like them at least.
Yeah, absolutely. Love the music.
Great. Are there some rock songs that you don't want to take on because, well, they're popular, but you might not find them interesting or something?
Yeah, we don't tend to play standard pop. Like, the thing that has attracted us to the Radiohead songs is that they often have, like, mixed meters and, you know, really interesting sort of not your standard, like, 4-4 time music. I think that we would avoid mostly any pop songs that are...
Well, I think what happens is that there's a lot of music that we try, but maybe we decide not to perform it. So maybe we have maybe 7 out of 10 songs that we are working on might work, and that's the same for any of our projects. So that just translates into what ends up in the concert. So we might be trying some things that are not presented, and until we get to a point where we feel like we feel like the music is working as well with the Mozart and the Radiohead and the Dan Visconti, then it doesn't really get put into a live performance.
You've mentioned Mozart a few times, and so you do play some pieces from a classical repertoire.
Mm-hmm. I mean, absolutely,
yes, and so just because people are fans of modern music and not as much fans of like a traditional classical repertoire doesn't mean you've got something for everyone, kind of.
Yeah, and I think that some of our point of view is that all music at one point was modern. So when Mozart was around, he was kind of like, you know, I'm gonna get in trouble for this, but
I'm trying not to say
Justin Bieber, but he was pretty famous,
yeah,
and pretty well known, and it was really that was sex, drugs, and rock and roll was Mozart, and then Beethoven was it, and then so yeah. It's for us, it's the same.
Mozart also wrote some pieces, like the ones that we play were originally written for string quintet, so. If Beethoven had written anything for string quintet, maybe we would be playing that too.
For string quintet with the bass.
Yeah.
Ah, mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
So the piece, some of the pieces you play are originally composed for your configuration.
Yeah, and it's actually kind of a interesting. This is going to get very academic really soon, but you know the instruments that we play were so different in Mozart's time, and they were so different in Beethoven's time. You know, if I think about my double bass, which has four strings now, and it's tuned in fourths, and they're all made out of steel. In Mozart's time, it would have been a viol, and it probably would have been five strings, and it was gut tuned with frets. And in Beethoven's times, it was probably three stringed. And I don't even know how it was tuned. There might be a dissertation on it somewhere. So, you know, we feel really comfortable with, you know, performing, you know, music from all time periods.
Yeah, the viola da gamba was the, you know, the small and medium and large and extra large.
Yeah, and, you know, like my instrument is basically like a bastard child of a violin and viola da gamba, like love tryst relationship or something. I don't know. But it's what everyone plays now. That's the double bass. So maybe in 100 years it'll be totally different.
And Lewis, you travel with a full-size double bass.
I do.
And you travel everywhere with that.
Yes.
That must be...
Yes, we'll be in Japan in May. Oh. I mean, so we're going to... It's a... What's the word to describe how exciting it is?
Nightmare? Yesterday, somehow the bass made it here and our luggage didn't. So we're glad that the bass came.
And that's kind of nice to special
care. We got
care.
The luggage this morning, but the bass arrived right on time with us last night, so...
Just got back from my honeymoon and my husband's luggage. Thank you. We went all the way to Madagascar and it's amazing. I'm a little sunburned. One of our pieces of luggage didn't make it until a little later, but Air France flew it all the way across Madagascar to us. So that was nice of them.
Good thing you don't have to bring your bass with you.
Exactly. So. Yeah. Exactly. Congratulations for you to be traveling with that. That's amazing. But yeah, we understand lost luggage definitely, and so glad that you got yours back. That's important because you're traveling from where do you call home these days, Sibrite 5?
New York City is home for us.
Okay,
but we were actually partway on somewhat of a tour, and we were in Wisconsin, and then Chicago. So we had to come through Chicago.
You have another album here that I have on hand and queued up. Should we hear something off of this one?
Sure.
It's self-titled, Sibrite 5, and here, I'll let you take a look at it. And
well, this is our debut EP called Disturb the Silence, and we are going to hear the Turchesca.
Okay.
Thank you.
Was off of your Disturb the Silence Sybarite 5 recording, and great tune. Can you introduce that one?
Yeah, that's a song called Turchaska, and it's I think it was originally recorded by a group called Taraf the Haiduks. I hope I'm saying that right. It was arranged for us by a nice fellow named Matt Van Brink in New York City.
And New York is where you call home now, and
yeah.
So people come out, your friends that are composers, they know you, they come and hear you play, and then sometimes they find arrangements for you, and they...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's like one of our favorite things. We just got a new piece from Jessica Meyer. She heard us do some stuff, and it seems to be working out nicely. So that's a great thing for us if we get natural, organic collaborations. That's mm-hmm. the best.
Also, we have another piece that is... by a jazz bass player. Lewis went to listen to his trio, and he loved this one piece, and he asked him to see if he could do an arrangement for us. And that was the first time that he had ever written for an ensemble that wasn't his own ensemble. So that was very a very nice project for him, and we got this amazing piece. So it works both ways.
Yeah, and the piece is called Jan's Flight, and it's I think it's coming out on a new recording from his group, which is the name of his ensemble is called The North, and it was all his name is Sean Conley.
So once he wrote it for your group, he then arranged it for his own group?
No, actually the exact opposite.
Okay.
In this case, Sean and I had been friends for a while. We met actually we were stand partners at a Beethoven 9 concert at Carnegie Hall. And we became friends. So I went to his concert, which was happening in Rochester during something called the International Society of Double Bassists Convention.
That's a whole lot of double bassists that, in one room.
It is. That is probably the most amount you will get. And Sybarite 5 was performing. And a couple hours before our performance, Sean's group, The North, was performing. Because he had won the International Society of Double Bassists competition in the jazz category a couple years before, and part of that, I believe, the prize is that you do your own recital, or you're invited to do that. So, I went to go hear that performance and heard the piece right away. I thought, man, this would be really fabulous if we had something like this. So, he very kindly made an arrangement for us that we enjoy.
Sybarites, I can't go on anymore without asking about your name. It's an interesting name, and I looked up the definition of Sybarites, and I found seekers of pleasure and luxury. That sounds pretty nice.
Yeah, it sounds good to us too.
It must have sounded good.
It's funny. It's my grandma thought of it.
Really?
Basically, that's the That's the short version of the story. She had her husband, my grandfather, had a boat, and it was called the Sybarite. Oh. So she thought Sybarite would be a good name for us too, because in addition to all the interesting things you just mentioned that people from Sybaris supposedly did in Greek mythology, they also supposedly charmed their enemies by playing music. But for some reason, that doesn't make it into the Webster Dictionary ever or Wikipedia. Just like the sex and lies part. That's interesting stuff. That's why I asked. Yeah.
Oh, and I want to ask you, Laura, you had to borrow a cello while you're here, and so we want to give some thank yous out.
Yes, I am borrowing a beautiful French cello from Carl Knapp, who teaches cello here in Fairbanks. So thankful to him. Ordinarily, I travel with my cello. I usually buy an extra seat for it on the plane. I've flown all over the world with my cello strapped in next to me, but just various circumstances of getting here with the cello proved too complicated. And so I just want to thank Carl profusely for letting me borrow his lovely instrument for this whole weekend. So thank you, Carl.
Great. So you usually buy a seat for your cello. I've heard of that happening.
Yep. And, everywhere.
We buy it.
We love to buy it.
It could be Sybarite 6 in that, when you're traveling. Yeah.
Yep.
You guys are here to play concert tomorrow night at the Blue Loon and Saturday night at Herring Auditorium. And if people are ready, those season ticket holders that get to go to the Blue Loon, if they hear that concert, is that going to be different enough to the Saturday night Herring Auditorium show that you'd kind of want to go to both? Or how does that work?
Well, with a lot of music that they're going to hear on Friday night, they're going to hear it for the first time. And when you listen to music for the first time, you're left with the idea of, I got it, but I want to hear more of it. So there will be some of that on Saturday. And we'll definitely throw in a few extra songs or replay some songs so they still feel like it's a completely different show.
Well, and you're joined by the West Valley Chamber Orchestra on Saturday for a selection, which will be a surprise. But
yes, and that's not going to happen on Friday.
Right.
So.
A lot of suspense involved with that.
I know, right?
Very suspenseful.
But I can't wait to hear what is put together, the collaboration that you've put together. Do you get to practice with them at least once?
We're going
three times
from here to the high school.
Yep.
To do some work with them, and same tomorrow, so it will be well oiled.
Good. And what an opportunity for high school students to be able to play with a professional touring group like Sybarite 5. I don't know, this is not what usually happens, but I think it's happened before where some people get to join the special guests, and that's wonderful. Is it something you do in some cities?
We have done it. Whenever there is a high school orchestra or like the presenter likes to combine outreach, and there are many ways of doing that work in the community, but we have done it a few times, and it's always very rewarding to work with them and then get to perform with them. It's we are as lucky as they are, yeah. I guess, kind of thing.
Yeah, and teens, and they're welcome to come to the concert on Saturday.
Yes, from what we understand, we believe that there is no charge for teens to come on Saturday. From what the little rumors tell us.
Great.
But there's really only one way to find out.
Fairbanks concert website, yes, or to come and see the concert on Saturday night at 8 at Herring. All right, so should you play finale so we can let you head off to practicing with the West Valley High School students after this?
Absolutely.
All right, sounds good. Sybarite 5 is here for Alaska Live. I'm your host, Lori Neufeld, and we're going to hear the finale that they have for us.
Tell me, what are we playing?
It is a piece by Argentinian composer Astor Piazzolla. It's a tango called La Muerte del Ángel, or The Death of the Angel.
Oh, Sammy, you could say that better than I ever could. I think it's your Argentinian roots.
Yeah. La Muerte del Ángel.
Amazing. Just a taste of what you might hear at their concert, either on Friday, if you're lucky enough to already have tickets, or on Saturday night at Herring, which I still do believe that you could get a seat there. Thank you for coming in. This was really wonderful.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
KUAC's Alaska Live series of live music and conversation with local and visiting artists is provided by a grant from Design Alaska, Design Alaska, Architecture and Engineering for the New Frontier.